Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. And today we've got a super interesting conversation with Kristen Diggs. Now, Kristen, you are currently the CHRO of the San Diego Youth Service Organization. Yeah. You've actually been doing HR support for over 25 years. You spent a good portion of that in nonprofit, but you started out for 8 years in for-profit organizations. Yeah. And that's the juxtaposition. That's the learning that we're going to be talking about today is what can for-profit companies learn from the strategies of nonprofit organizations? So that's a really interesting conversation. And what I'd love to do is maybe have you expand a little bit more on your background before we get started.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I started out pretty much right after I got out of college. I was able to get in. I knew I wanted to do HR, and I actually just got really lucky with my first job, as many of us in HR do. I was able to get an HR assistant position at an organization that my roommate worked at, actually, and they were looking for someone to do really like basic level kind of admin work. So I was able to get in there, and I spent 8 years there really building the HR department. So there was no HR devoted individuals when I started at that organization. It was 80 people. It was on the East Coast. It was a technology company. And over the 8 years that I was there, it grew from those 80 people to almost 2,000 people all over the world, just by means of organic growth and by acquisitions. So I had a lot of growth and movement there, not so much in like position titles, because I only moved up to a generalist, but experience-wise, it really gave me a great foundation for HR because I was able to start an HR department and understand each one of the functions of HR.
Actually, you lead the local chapter in San Diego with over 600 people where you're president-elect, I think.
Yes, president-elect, 2026.
Fantastic. So here's what I'd love to do. I'd love to tap into all of that experience and start out by saying there are some pretty significant differences between for-profit and nonprofit and priorities and culture and all kinds of different things.
Yes.
Maybe just start off with your point of view on what those differences are, and then we'll get into the learnings after that.
So in 2006, at the technology company, I made a decision that it wasn't the right job for me because I loved HR. I loved what I did. It just was the industry that I was in. I was in technology. I did not understand what that company did. It was internet security. That was so over my head. I didn't understand what we did. I knew we hired engineers. I didn't know what those engineers did. And so I felt like I wanted to go somewhere where I knew what I was selling to candidates. So when I'm interviewing people, I wanted to be able to say, this is what we do, and I believe in this, and this is how you're going to contribute to the mission or the goals of the organization. So I decided at that time I really wanted to go into nonprofit. I am from the East Coast, from Maryland. We're a big water state. We are the Chesapeake Bay right in the middle of us. And I grew up on the Bay, and I just had a love of the water. And I was able to get the perfect HR manager job at an environmental nonprofit in Maryland. Basically, it was water conservation. So it was just the perfect fit for me because it was something that I grew up with, that I was invested in, that I had a lot of experience with just through my personal life. And I remember my first 6 months to a year at that organization. And the best way I know how to describe it is that it felt like hitting a brick wall when I first started, because when I was at the for-profit, it was doing everything so fast and just getting that project or that task done and pushed out to the staff or pushed out of the door. You just do it. And when I came to the nonprofit, it was very hard for me to really slow down and understand that nonprofits are about collaboration and thoughtfulness and taking your time in making decisions and rolling out initiatives. Everything is a task force. Everything requires decision makers from a lot of different areas. And so it was really hard for me because I didn't feel like I was making a difference for a long period of time because there was so much to do to get to the point of actually having a finished product.
So a lot of that, though, sounds like a good thing. If we all had time, we would slow down. We would make more considered decisions. We would be more collaborative with our peers within and outside of the organization. So that seems like it's a little bit of the first lesson that we're going to learn here, but elaborate a little bit more about now that you've been doing this for a while.
Yep. So the very first thing I remember learning is two of my first responsibilities were, one, I had to revamp the new hire orientation, and I had to develop a training program. So it wasn't just me going in there and deciding, this is how I want to do new hire orientation, and this is what my training program should be like, which is what I would have done at the for-profit. I would have just gotten some resources together, wrote it together into some kind of document, pushed it out. Maybe I would have talked to my boss about it, and that was it. So with this job, when I came in, I had to develop work groups or task force for both of those different initiatives. And I had to pull people in from all different areas of the agency so I could get their opinion on what new hire orientation should look like or what the training program should look like. I needed them to bring ideas to the table that were going to affect the people in their departments. And we had to come up with a product that had different thought processes and ways of doing things from all the different departments in the organization. And then you develop that with that group, you put something together, and then you roll it out to a test group of staff. You see how it goes. If you get feedback from that, if it works, that's great. You roll it out to the rest of the organization, or you go back to the drawing board if that doesn't work for the population that you tried it with. It was very hard for me at first because I was so used to moving so quickly and just getting things done. But now, as I'm here almost 20 years later, I realized how incredibly beneficial that is. Because one thing I've learned in my career is that when you have buy-in from different people, it motivates them to be part of it and to be your advocate and your cheerleader for whatever you're rolling out. So in a mission-driven organization, that's exactly what you need. You need everyone bought into what you're doing because everything is about what are we doing and how is it bought into our mission that we're working for. So that was really eye-opening. And just once I was in that group, I realized I wasn't going to do anything without understanding that it had to be a very collaborative process.
So if you were to go back to for-profit today, or just the recommendation for all of us that are in for-profit organizations, there's two ends of the spectrum. I'm going to ask you for a recommendation here. Obviously, nothing's going to be perfect. You've got to get it out. If you try to have it perfect, it's never going to get accomplished. So there's one end of the spectrum that you're going to say, you got to just kind of roll with it. On the other hand, well, obviously, people having their thumbprint on it, people having input on it, and their buy-in into it, it's actually going to be a program that has an opportunity to succeed. And isn't that ultimately what you want? So your recommendation going forward is you can get something out. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but here's my takeaway. You can put something out really quickly. But if you actually want something to have long-term lasting success, then you want to have your collaborators involved.
Yes. And what I will say too to that, I think you made a really good point that perfect is oftentimes the enemy of good. So I know that you can't make it absolutely perfect because at the end of the day, no matter how much collaboration you have, not every single person is going to buy into it. And that's what you just have to work with. You have to work with to the exception to the rule. So that's a great point. And I also think it's really important that when you do these work groups or task force, whatever you do, you also tell that the people that you're working with, like, I want your opinions and I want your ideas, but let me be clear that we may not be able to do everything that you recommend. Because when you're coming to these work groups, you are supposed to be putting on your agency hat rather than your department hat. But sometimes they're coming to the table and something that works well for this particular group of staff is not going to work for the other group of staff. And so those are the things you have to work through. You know, you do have to make it very clear that we're going to try to integrate everyone's thoughts and ideas. But at the end of the day, sometimes us as the HR professionals have to make that decision as to which way we want to go.
It makes really good sense. And so now I'm like really dying to dive into this next area because here's my sense is that at a nonprofit organization, things like mission, culture, values are deeply ingrained. In for-profit organizations, they can be sometimes placards on the wall or a page on your website that you check the box, I've done it. So what is your point of view on the culture and the core values of an organization and how important they are, having been on both sides?
So I would say in the for-profit world, granted, it was a long time ago, but I have no idea if we had a strategic plan or strategic goals or a mission, vision, values. I have no idea if we had that at that organization. And you know what? If we did have them, I didn't do them as HR and they weren't effective because I don't remember them. But in a nonprofit organization, your mission, vision, values are your guiding principles. It's your North Star. It's what you do everything in your job looking towards those things. So that starts out when you're creating a mission or a vision. To go back to the task force, you actually get staff together and you understand from them, what is this organization about? And you work with that group of staff to understand your mission, vision, and values. Because then when you're putting them out to the rest of the organization, you're saying, hey, these weren't developed by a board of directors that was sitting at a table once a month together. It wasn't developed by your executive leadership team. These were developed by your colleagues, by the people that are in it every day with you. And so that becomes everything that you look back to. When you do performance reviews, I'm training on that this week. This is our annual performance review time. And I'm very big on goal setting. You have your goals, objectives, and then your strategies and your tactics to get there. And it's very important to me that when a manager and a staff person are looking at their individual goals, they need to keep that strategic plan of the organization right there in front of their face so they understand how a person's individual goals relate back to the organization goals, because everybody has to understand why they're doing what they're doing and how it's contributing to the mission. So super, super important that we're living our values every day. And yeah, we can put them up on the wall and you can see them when you come in the office, but how are you putting them into practice? I'm going out to the staff meetings and we're doing exercises about what do these values mean to you? I want to understand from you, what's the examples that you see about these values? And then how can we incorporate them into your work, into your responsibilities? It's just everything is relating back to the mission. Everything that comes across my desk, how is this relating back and supporting my mission of the organization, which right now it's to support the youth of San Diego.
So it's interesting because we all have an impact as a company. You're just talking about impacting the youth of San Diego. In for-profit world, we all have our customers. We all have our ideal customer profiles, and we're trying to impact the challenges that they have. These are business challenges versus life challenges. But we're doing the same thing in that way. So why would mission and vision and core values be more important in one or the next? And I recently interviewed a CEO of a company, and it was all about the growth of his for-profit. He had two successful exits. This is his third company. And the number one thing that he wanted to talk to me about, 100% in the for-profit world, was core values, their impact on the organization, their clients, and on the retention of his employees, the overall satisfaction of his employees. I know probably in the for-profit world, it doesn't pay as well typically as the for-profit, but in terms of retention and employee satisfaction, how important is those elements?
Yes. So when you're looking at the mission, vision, values of a for-profit organization, it's all about how much money can we bring in and how much profit can we make? When you are in a nonprofit, your mission, vision, values are about how many kids am I keeping off the streets of San Diego? Or in my last position, it was how am I reducing pollutants in the water to make it swimmable and safe for kids to be in every day? And so it has so much more of an impact to a person when you're thinking about like, my God, this could actually affect me or my family or my grandkids one day. I have to support this mission because this is not just about making a dollar. This is about changing a situation for people down the road, like the community of San Diego and potentially my grandkids that will live here. That's what we are constantly thinking about. And that's why we're so tied to our mission, because it affects us personally. And I think about that when I hire people. And that when you're in a nonprofit, you talk about culture is very, very important. And you want to hire for the culture, but you also want to hire for the technical. So 50% of it should be, do you have the skills that can do the job. You're hiring for an accountant. Do you have the accountant skills? You're hiring for a scientist. Do you have the degrees that you need? But then also, if I'm hiring into a nonprofit for a mission, if I'm hiring into my environmental organization, hey, do you like getting out on the water? Because we go out on boats, we kayak, we canoe, we marsh muck. We go out to the middle of the bay in an island and spend a couple of days there. Are you going to be okay with doing that? And if they are, that's the person you want to hire because they are bought in. Like, this is part of who they are, and they're going to work harder on their job, and they're going to learn any technical things that they're missing because they are bought in to that mission and what we're doing. And so with here, we work with youth, and I hire a lot of staff that actually may have come from our services. We've been around for 50 years. They may have come from our services. They may have experienced things. They may have been homeless. They may have been in the foster system, been victim of domestic violence. So they are coming to work here because they want to get back and they want to help kids as they were helped in the past. That makes their job so much more meaningful because it's not about the money. It's about, what can I do to get back to the people that helped me? And because I was so successful with getting off the streets, and here I am, and I'm going to help another kid with doing that. And so we all work for money. We all need to make money. But in a nonprofit, we also work for those things too.
So there's a direct correlation there. Nonprofit, we make that a huge part of the draw and the satisfaction and therefore the retention of staying in that organization. I talked on this podcast about a month ago to a gentleman. He said, I work in the manufacturing industry and we manufacture parts that go into planes that the military buys that goes up to defend our country. Another gentleman was like, I worked at innovative companies and I felt like I was on the cutting edge in helping people in their lives. So there is a mission in for-profit businesses where we are helping significantly the audiences that those businesses support. And what I'm taking away from what you're saying here is we need to draw not one page, but maybe a couple chapters out of the nonprofit book and say, there is a mission that you are on in this company as well, that you can feel incredibly good about. Even in the for-profit world, things are very, very competitive, and we can't always pay the top salaries. There has to be a number of reasons of why employees want to come to work, want to do fantastic work while they're here, and don't want to leave. So that's one of my big takeaways.
And I think back to when I was in that for-profit world, and maybe if someone did make that correlation to me, like, okay, well, you're selling this product that is used by the government to encrypt communications between government officials or something. Wow, that's really cool. But there was no HR department. So that actually would have been my responsibility, but I didn't know that at the time. It's very important that you have people, your HR staff or whoever, that get out in front of you, or your managers, really. They're the ones that should be helping the staff understand how their positions and what they do are part of the bigger picture and why the organization is successful.
Absolutely. So let's do a few more pages from the nonprofit sector. You talked about internal communication and how it was very different inside of a nonprofit and a for-profit. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the way that I think about it is that I work for nonprofits, and every person I come across in my life, my family, my friends, they're potential donors or constituents or members of the organizations. Mm. I feel like I'm always representing my organization. And it's very, very important that you understand what your organization is, what you're doing, what events are coming up. I say to somebody, you know, I work for San Diego Youth Services. And most of the time I get, oh my God, that's awesome. What can I do to support your organization? And so I have to know, oh, we have these volunteer events. We have this fundraising event. You can come in and do this volunteer up, like whatever the case may be. So we have to do a really great job in nonprofits of making sure that everything that's going on around the organization is making its way to all the staff, because it's almost like every staff person has to have an elevator pitch about San Diego Youth Services and what we do, because you really never know who's going to be that next $1 million donor, right? So it's just very important that your executive leadership team and your marketing team, they are standing in front of the staff and updating them and being transparent about what's going on in the organization so everybody understands what's going on throughout the organization and we can represent the agency well. That's really, really important in nonprofits.
So the translation on that over to the for-profit side is whether you're an organization of 50, 100, 500, 5,000, we are all brand ambassadors of the organization. And especially in today, because you can think of like in the world of San Diego Youth Services, there's a very tight geographic area there where people live. In a nonprofit world, there's 500 of us, 5,000 of us. We all have tremendous reach online. And so things that are happening, whether it's even posts that are up on LinkedIn, what would you think would happen if there was 500 employees that were helping to amplify the message of the organization, and especially the mission of the organization, values of the organization, and for everyone to see how much support there was from the employees themselves?
Yes, that's right? So important. So one thing on that topic is that their websites like Glassdoor, where previous employees, current employees, member can go on, can write comments about the organization, and they can rate the CEO and rate the executive staff and rate the benefits and PTO and stuff like that. So that's a great resource for employees. Like, absolutely use that when you're interviewing for jobs and research. For nonprofit, that we keep a really close eye on Glassdoor, because if we are having staff on there talk negatively about the organization, potential donors can also see that. And we don't want that to be the brand of our organization. So that's why we put so much into understanding our staff and understanding their wants and their needs and working with them and creating those reasons as to why we want them to stay at San Diego Youth Services. Because having any kind of negative publicity, it could potentially affect revenue in a nonprofit. It's just so important about representing your brand well in a nonprofit.
We've had to learn that in for-profit organizations too. As companies, we have to be storytellers, and we have to make sure that that story is a constantly evolving and positive that's engaging our employees in what we're doing and giving them a voice, empowering them to have everybody ready to tell the San Diego Youth Services story. That's the page that applies to both sides of the fence. I'm going to pull some more pages from the nonprofit playbook here that you were talking about. You talk about the importance of mentorship. Now, there's mentorship on both sides of the fence here, but there's an added component to mentorship for nonprofits that you think directly applies as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
One of my passions is mentorship and leadership. I don't like to say I manage. I don't ever talk about anybody working for me. It's about working as part of my team, because I just really believe that this applies in for-profit and nonprofit. This mentorship, leading, coaching, to be an effective leader or coach or mentor is you understanding your employees and getting them to where they need to be. And I think my view on this has changed since being in nonprofit is that, yes, I want to retain my employees and I want to have good retention of my employees, but I also want to make sure that I understand where my employees want to go in their career. Do they want to develop in this particular position, in the department, in the agency, or maybe this place isn't their long-term goal? Okay, that's great if I get you for a couple of years and I'm going to train you up. And if you're going to go someplace different, that has been your goal. But you know what? I'm going to be proud of the fact that I got you to where you need to go. And with nonprofit, I really believe, because we're always looking for other things to hold on to our staff, because sometimes the compensation is what it is. You can go to for-profit and make much more. And so I think when you add that additional component of just really understanding how to be a leader and a coach and a mentor to your staff, because why do people leave organizations? They leave because of their managers. And so if we have managers that can do a management job, but also be those leaders and coaches, you're going to just evolve your staff in the organization, and it's going to be succession planning, and you're going to work staff up to where they need to be, and they're going to be excited about it, and they know their manager is going to be standing behind them and cheering them on and helping them get there.
If we feel like in any aspect of our lives, you know, children growing up with our parents or our best friends, if somebody's got your back, you have an allegiance to them. It's authentic. It's trusted. It's a relationship that feel like our managers have our back. And means that they're training us, they're mentoring us, they're preparing us for, like you said, no matter which direction that you go. Those are the employees who are also going to go on to the open door, like you said earlier, and be like, no, I loved working there. But there's things that happen in life that we're not going to stay within organizations forever. That's just part of the game. But part of our job in being authentic with really, truly believing that it is the people that are the difference in our companies mm-hmm. is that we need to pour into our people. We need to mentor our people. We need to have their back. And that's something that happens and should happen much more for profit, because there's an aura of we're here to help and support each other. It just isn't always in the for-profit world. So, Kristen, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Yeah. And I'm going to say, we've talked about a lot, but if there was one thing that you wanted everyone, the peers in your community that are on the for-profit side, the one thing you wanted them to take away from this conversation, what would that be?
It is invest in your people and make sure they understand how what they're doing relates to the bigger picture, how what they're doing contributes to the product that you're making, the services that you're putting out, the programs that you're developing, how they play a part. You want them invested in what they're doing. You just don't want them to come to work and just do the same thing every day and not understand how it relates to the bigger picture. I think that is just so, so important to buy into your mission, your vision, your values. Make that a collaborative process when you're developing or updating your mission. Bring people into it. Understand from the staff what they think the organization is like. We do a climate survey. That climate survey literally defines what I'm working on for that year, because I need to understand what the staff are feeling and what they want out of their time here with us.
I love that. So here's what I'm going to predict. People are going to have more questions for you after listening to this. If it was appropriate, would it be okay if we gave a link to your LinkedIn profile as we're posting this, that people know how to get a hold of you and ask questions?
Absolutely. I say I'm a mentor, so that's what I do. I love helping people. I love talking to people and connecting. And yes, absolutely.
Well, I could feel that from our conversation here. So thank you, Kristen, for coming on and just kind of opening us up to things that we always have known, we have in the back of our minds, but making it a priority and stealing some of those pages out of the nonprofit playbook. I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was great.